I'm not going to let anybody or anything take away my hope. And I will tell you this morning that I think hope is an important thing to hang on to. I think hope is an important thing to protect. I think hope is an important thing to say, just like David said in this psalm, I'm not going to let anybody or anything take it away from me. Because you see, hope is important. Without hope, you quit. Had a couple people come in this morning. I asked them how they were doing. And a couple of them said in different words, I'm just about ready to give up. And I just sort of rubbed my hands together and said, oh boy, God's got you in the right place this morning. Another one said, I'm just so sick, I don't know what to do. And I just inside, I said, oh good, God's got exactly what you need this morning. Without hope, we get discouraged. Without hope, we get depressed. Without hope, if we're sick, we just get sicker and sicker and sicker. Without hope, we do give up. And without hope, as the Bible says about another condition, I'll just add, without hope to it, we are of all men most miserable. And I think it ought to be every person's golden objective to say, like the psalmist does in this psalm, I will hope continually. And I'll tell you, hope and the lack of hope is not a respecter of person. It's not a respecter of age. It's not a respecter of circumstances. Young people can lose their hope just like old people can. People that are well can lose their hope just like sick people can. It's not a respecter of persons. And so this morning, I want to speak to every single person that's here. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your spiritual condition is. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. This morning, when we get done in about 20, 25 minutes or so, and I want you to walk out of this place saying, I will hope continually. And I hope my purpose is that when you walk out saying that, you'll know how to do it. Because we're going to use David and the things that he says in the verses that we read, and then one more a little bit further down in the chapter. And I'm going to show you this morning, by following his example, how you can say that same thing, I will hope continually and know how to do it. Let's pray. Father, again, we come to you and ask you to work in this service. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to every person's heart, those especially that are a little down this morning, those that might want to quit, those that might want to give up. And I pray, Father, that you would show us all how we can have that hope that will never go away, that hope that will continue forever. If there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day they decide to make that decision. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Make three statements this morning. Three statements to make to fulfill the objective that I've set out for us this morning, so that you can walk out of here saying, I will hope continually and know how to do it. Statement number one, David did not build his hope on what was going on around him. He did not build his hope on circumstances. If you take the Bible and you turn back to 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and then over in the book of Chronicles and you read the story of David, you will find there's many things in his life that tried to rob him of his hope. His brothers, when he was a young man, were jealous of him and did not understand him. I mean, when he followed his father's instructions and went to see three of his older brothers in the army, and Goliath came and David started talking about this uncircumcised heathen that was cussing God and challenging God, and David said, somebody ought to go out and kill this guy. His brother said, yeah, we know why you're here. You just want to see the battle. Why don't you just go on home and take care of those few sheep that daddy puts in your care? And they didn't understand how David was thinking. They didn't understand David. And even after killing the giant Goliath and sort of leading the Israeli army in the victory that day, King Saul got jealous of him. I mean, after killing Goliath, he put David in charge of a part of the army, and they go out to battle and win a great victory, and Saul and David would come back, and the ladies would sing, oh, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And King Saul got jealous of David and tried to kill him. And David had to leave home and leave his family and go into exile. Not because of anything he'd done, just because the king was jealous of his success. His own men turned against him one time, when their city that they were living in was overrun and their families were taken as captives. And his own men, as they lost their wives and their children and all their possessions, spoke of killing David. And again, all these things, if you look at them one at a time or put them all together, you could say, boy, David had some opportunities in his life where he could have easily lost his hope. He had some things happening in his life where he could have said, hey, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to quit. I don't have any hope of going on. He went into great sin. He committed adultery and he committed murder. And at the end of that sin, when he was convicted by God of that sin, he prayed and he says, I haven't sinned against man, but I've sinned against you, dear God. And it would have been easy for him at that point in his life to lose hope. One of his sons raped his half-sister. The brother of that sister killed that son that did that. All these were David's children. That son that killed his brother went into exile and stayed gone for 2 or 3 years and came back. And when he came back, he led a revolt or rebellion against his father. And David had to flee Jerusalem. And he had to run from his own son. During that rebellion, some of his very best friends, some of his closest advisors, turned their back on him and joined forces with Absalom, his son, who led in that revolt. And it would have been easy for David to say at that time, I just can't go on anymore. My friends and my family have turned against me and driven me from Jerusalem. And he said, I just don't have any hope. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just can't face tomorrow. But he didn't. He said, I will hope continually. Because David did not build his hope on the things that were going on around him. He did not build his hope on the circumstances of his life. And hundreds of years later, we need to learn that same lesson. We need to learn that lesson from this story that God's put in the Old Testament for our benefit. You cannot build your hope today on circumstances. You cannot build your hope today on what's going on around you. Hey, I'll just mention a few things this morning that I know is going on that rob people of their hope, that try to take hope away from people. Some of you have physical ills this morning that you will live with the rest of your life. I mean, you're taking medicine for it, and you're under treatment from the doctor. But those things will never, ever go away, and you'll have them as long as you live. Some others that are here this morning have loved ones whose health is deteriorating. And I think it's worse. I would much rather be sick myself than to see somebody I love sick. And so my heart breaks as I talk to people whose husbands or wives or children are facing health concerns and things that can't be fixed, that won't be fixed, and they have to live with them. Some here have lost your spouse, and you face life alone. Some here have children that have made the wrong choices, and you and they are now paying the price for those choices. Some people here struggle financially and emotionally just to get through the next day, just to make it to tomorrow. And so I say to you, you cannot build your hope on what's going on around you. You cannot build your hope on the circumstances of your life. And I'll tell you what, if you pick up the newspaper or listen to the radio or turn on the TV, it won't do much, if anything, to add to your hope. If you just listen to the news this week, the death of the 12 miners in West Virginia broke our hearts. Broke our hearts. I mean, you couldn't even know a little bit about what was going on without having a heartbreak after hearing that story. The stroke of the Israeli prime minister, what it's going to do to the Middle East. What's going to happen if somebody else takes over? The continuing turmoil in Iraq, 17 American soldiers killed in the last 2 days. And not only the Americans that are dying, but all the nationalities of people that are dying, the Iraqis themselves. It's causing people to wonder, is our efforts worth it? Yesterday, 2 people died in Europe from bird flu. The first 2 people that have died of that outside of Asia causes us to wonder if there's a pandemic heading our way. And I could go on and on. You probably heard things that I didn't mention this morning that would just make you just want to throw up your hands and say, man, the world we live in is in a mess. And it sure doesn't offer much comfort or much hope. And many of you are living with personal circumstances that tell you the same thing. I just don't have much hope. And I will remind you this morning of David, and I will remind you the same thing holds true for us. We cannot build our hope on things that the world has to offer. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. I don't care how many unpaid bills you have. I don't care how your health is. It may be good. It may be bad. You cannot build hope on good health any more than somebody can build hope on ill health. You just can't do it. And our hope should not be determined by what's going on around us. It was not his circumstances that allowed David to say, I will hope continually. I will hope continually. Statement number 2. David built his hope on what God had already done for him. David built his hope on what God had already done for him. In verse 15, he says, my mouth shall show forth thy salvation all the day. My mouth shall show forth thy salvation, dear God, all the day. What David was saying is, I'm not going to build my hope on what's going on in my life. I'm going to build my hope on what God has done for me. And one of the things that God has done for me is he has saved me. And you might say this morning, well, how can David get saved? He lived a long time before Jesus went to Calvary. And I'll remind you, just like I did last week, David got saved the same way that every Old Testament saint got saved. David got saved by looking forward to what Jesus was going to do on the cross of Calvary. In fact, you go back and you read some of the Psalms that David wrote, and you'll see that he already, maybe he didn't understand it altogether, but some of the songs that we call Psalms in our Bible picture the crucifixion. They picture the things that Jesus was going to go through hundreds of years later. They picture the crowd standing around and mocking him. They picture the beatings that he was going to get. They picture the price that the priests were going to pay Judas to betray him. They picture the sacrifice that God was going to offer in the form of his only begotten son on Calvary's cross. And that's how David got saved, by looking forward to what Jesus was going to do. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning, we get saved the same way. We get saved by looking to Calvary. David looked forward, we look backward. We look backward and we see God laying on Jesus our every sin. That sin that separates us from God. That sin whose penalty is death. We see God laying on Jesus every one of our sins. And we see Jesus going to the cross and on that cross paying the price for every one of our sins. Paying the penalty that every one of us owe. We see Jesus paying that penalty. Every lie, everything that we disobeyed God in, every act of disobedience, every ill word that we've spoken, every bad attitude that we've had. God placed on Christ, and when Jesus went to the cross, that's why he died. Not for any sin that he committed. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. But God took every one of your preacher's sins, he took every one of your sins, and he laid them on his only begotten son. And when Jesus went to Calvary's cross, that's what he died for. That's what he paid for. That's the penalty he bore for us. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says this: all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Glory to God. With his stripes, we are healed. And by his death, Jesus offers to every single person the gift of salvation. This morning, if you're here and you've never received the gift of salvation that Jesus offers to you, I encourage you to take it. I beg you to take it. It's what David built his hope on. I will talk of thy salvation all the day. See, I'm not going to build my hope on these things that are going on in my life. If I looked at what's going on in my life, they're terrible. And I could get depressed and I could want to quit. And Satan could rob me of my hope, David says, if I looked at what was going on. But I'm not going to build my hope on what's going on. I'm going to build my hope on the fact that God has saved me. But it doesn't stop there. He says down in verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. You see, God knows all about our circumstances. He knows what you face as an individual. He knows what we face as a collective, in other words, what we face together. And God cares. And God is not going to leave us to face all the trials and the circumstances that we have by ourselves. And he's not going to let us face it with our own strength. God says this: I'll be with you, and I will give you my strength, and we will go through those circumstances together. Hundreds of years later, Paul wrote this in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all. I'm glad Paul didn't say, hey, I can do some things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm glad Paul didn't say, well, I can do the easy and the medium hard things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm glad Paul used that little three-letter word, A-L-L, all. He says, with Jesus as my strength, with Jesus there with me, there's not a circumstance, there's not a trial, there's not a heartbreak, there's not anything that I can't face and make it through. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Sometimes we get up, like a couple people did this morning. We get up, we lift our face toward heaven, and we say this: God, I can't face what I got to face today. I just don't think I have the strength to make it through what I got to do today. And God just sort of takes us in his arms and he says, I know you don't. I know you don't. That's why I'm going to be with you today. That's why I'm going to give you my strength today. And there ain't nothing that you and God can't get through. There ain't, may not be good English, but sure is good preaching. There ain't nothing that you and God can't get through together. Because we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We sang the song this morning. Songwriter said it like David did. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So, statement number one, I cannot build my hope on my circumstances. Number two, I can build my hope on what God has already done for me. And number three, I can build my hope on what God is going to do for me eternally. We didn't read it, but down in verse 20 in Psalm 71, here's what it says. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Here's what David was saying. He's saying, hey, one day this old body's going to die. One day these lungs are going to quit breathing. One day this heart's going to quit beating. One day this body's just going to wear out. And you're going to lay me in the depths of the earth. And here's what let me just speak for David for a minute. He said, some of you may think that that's it. Some of you may think that David's gone. Some of you may think that the grave is going to have the victory and I'm going to feel the sting of death and I'm done with. But David says, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. Because my God will quicken me. He'll give me life back. And he'll raise me up from the depths of the earth. And I'll live with him forever. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You go over to the end of the 2 Samuel, you go over to the first part of 1 Chronicles, and you'll read the story of an old king, an old man named David, who died. Hundreds of years ago, they gave him a stately funeral as befitting the kind of king that he was. They laid him in the ground. But I want to tell you something. The only thing they laid in the ground was his old wore-out body. You see, the New Testament truth that Paul talked about, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, applied back in the Old Testament before he even wrote it. And that moment that David took his last breath, that moment that his heart beat for the last time, he went to be with his God. He went to be with Jesus. Even though Jesus hadn't gone to Calvary yet, he went to be with his Jesus. And he's lived in that mansion that was prepared for him for a long, long time. You see, my hope is not built on what's going on around me. My hope is built on what God has already done for me, and my hope is built on what he will do for me when my old body lays in the grave. Because I don't believe I'm going to spend 1 second beneath the sod. Don't believe it. I mean, they may lay my head on that pillow in the casket, but I'll tell you what, I ain't going to be there. Ain't going to be there. I'm going to be with my Savior. I'm going to be walking the street of gold. I'm going to be talking to folks like David and say, tell me about heaven. You've been here for a long time. I want to know all about it. Again, like the songwriter says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. My dear friend, if you attempt to stand before the throne of God in your own righteousness, you will be cast into the devil's hell. Because all of our righteousness in the sight of God are as filthy rags. Every single good thing that we have to offer to God in his eyes is just wickedness. But when we receive the gift of eternal life, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that he not only takes away all of our sins, he dresses us in the righteousness of his Son. And when our God looks at us, He does not see the sin that we've committed. He sees the righteousness of his only begotten Son. This morning, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, this morning, if you've never taken the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers to every person, I beg you to take it. Not a better time to take it. Start of the new year, not a better time to decide, hey, I'm going to trust Christ. I'm going to believe God. In this world that seems to be falling apart, in my personal world that sometimes has trials and heartaches and difficulties, I am not going to lose my hope. Because my God has saved me. He gives me strength from day to day. And one day, praise his name, he's going to take me to heaven. He's going to take me to heaven. I remember the story I read about R.G. Lee. He was the preacher of a big Baptist church in Memphis, Tennessee, Bellevue Baptist Church. He was speaking somewhere in a meeting, and he got on an elevator, and two young boys got on the elevator with him and tried to hold him up. And they said, if you don't give us your wallet with all your money, we're going to kill you. And R.G. Lee looked at him and he said, you can't scare me with heaven. Can't scare me with heaven. I'm ready to go. The price has been paid for my sin and I've received it. And he said, have you? Story goes, the elevator door opened. They ran. They ran. They should have stayed and listened to that old Baptist preacher about how to get to heaven. And I hope that you'll listen this morning. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. And if you're here today and you've never received Christ, take him today. If you came this morning and ready to give up, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. God saved you and he'll give you the strength you need from day to day. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Simple reminders that come from this book. Thank you that you put stories of men like David in the Bible that we can read and we can learn from. And I pray this morning, I pray especially, Father, for those that came with a need this morning, a need in their life to be reminded that you're God, you saved us, and you strengthen us. And I pray, Father, that as we've listened to the Bible, that we won't lose our hope. That we'll say like David, I will hope continually. I will hope. I'm not going to let anybody steal it from me. I'm not going to let anybody take it. I'm going to hang on to my hope as I hang on to my God. Father, I pray you bless the invitation. Again, if there's somebody here that's never received Christ, I pray today would be the day they decide to just take him. Just receive him as the Bible says. I pray for Christians that need a special touch from you this morning because they are losing their hope a little bit. Help them to hang on to it and to hope continually. Bless the invitation, Father. Use it as you see fit. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.